Then you were wounded again.
Yeah.
Tell us what happened.
Well, this was in the Siegfried Line.
What was the Siegfried Line?
The Siegfried Line was the German fortifications of anti-tank traps and fill boxes and all that that they built opposite the French Maginot Line. It ran all along their border there. Our job, of course, was to get into the Siegfried Line and push them back, because that was their first fortifications in Germany, was the Siegfried Line. The thing about that, I always like to explain if I get the opportunity, is we went into a town to attack it, and it was thunderstorm, artillery fire from both sides, small arms fire, all of this going on at the same time while we're moving up. I got to thinking of a movie called The Fighting 69th of World War One that I saw with James Cagney at Jefferson Barracks. I said, gosh, this is just like the Fighting 69th, you know? So we took over a house to sleep that night before we moved into the line. The house got hit by artillery. The basement of this house was above ground, and we didn't notice that. So I'm sitting in the corner of the basement, and a shell hit the corner of the basement right above my head and bust a barrel of sauerkraut that was right next to me and just flooded me with sauerkraut. Stinking man. So here I am, flooded with sauerkraut. Then we go into the Siegfried Line, and while we're in the Battle of the Siegfried Line, my lieutenant gets hit in the temple, and his blood just splatters all over me. The first thing I thought of, you got to stop the bleeding. It had been raining for 16 days, so I reached down, I picked up the mud, and I slapped it on his brain and stopped the bleeding. Months later, he wrote me a letter. His name was Woodbury. He was part of the Woodbury family, Woodbury soap family. He was a good man, and he said that they said that whoever slapped that mud on him saved his life, if not his eyesight. And so I told the guys, if there's mud around, stop the bleeding. Use the mud. So I had the blood and the sauerkraut and was out on patrol, and some guys went crazy during this bombarding constantly all night long. A couple of them start beating their heads in with their helmets. When the stuff stopped a little while, I was able to get a couple of them back to the aid station. And when I got them back there, they said, take them back. They can't get combat fatigue. And I said, what the hell are you talking about? And they said, well, only an officer can get combat fatigue. That really made me mad. And I said, they're staying right here. So I went back to the company, and I reported to the first sergeant. And he says, did you get the replacements I sent up? I says, when did you send them? He says, last night. I says, who brought them? He says, nobody. I just told them where the front was. Boy, did I get him. I says, they're dead. He says, what do you mean? I says, they never made it to me. I says, they got shot during the night because they wandered right off into the enemy. Never forgot their names. They're still here all the time, but I never mention it because you think of parents and people that are relative to those people that they hear about. They got killed by stupidity. But anyway, we decided to move on to the Roar River, and on the way to the Roar River, we had to put Bangalore torpedoes in barbed wire to blow the wire so the tanks could go through and set off the mines. So I got wounded there, got hit by artillery there.
What was your wound?
On the other leg. And then on the palm of my hand, I had shrapnel in there, but it was a little one. They took me to Valkensburg, Holland, but they were bombing it so bad that they decided, well, we got to take all these guys to England. We can't leave them here. So they flew us to England, and the plane crashed when we landed in England, up on its nose. They pulled us out of the plane and took us to an aid station. Then I went to a hospital and then went to a replacement depot, because mine was a flesh wound. That second one was a flesh wound. In other words, it didn't break anything, so I could recover fast. I went to the replacement depot, and at the replacement depot, this Colonel Lee, they call him the infamous Colonel Lee, they reduced him later for the way he was treating the guys at the replacement depot, but he told us, don't think you mean anything to me. He says, you got medals or whatever. He says, that means nothing to me. You're going to do what I tell you while you're here. The next morning, they put me on KP, peeling potatoes. I'm sitting there looking at the potatoes. I had one in my hand, and this mess sergeant come up to me, and he said, let me show you what to do with that potato. I says, how many numbers in your serial number? He said, 8. I says, there are only 7 in mine. So let me tell you what you do with this potato. So I showed it at him, and I left and went AWOL and went back on my own to get back to the front and joined some captain who was bringing some infantry replacements over, and he was new, so he was glad to talk to me because it helped him out somebody been in combat to talk to him. He says, you can come with me. And so we were on an LCI crossing the English Channel. The LCI sunk. We got hit by another ship in the channel, got out of the water, got picked up by the LST and got on board the LST. And this captain, when he met me on there, he said, I didn't do you any favors, because if you'd have drowned, you would have been a deserter from the American Army and you would have been in bad shape, not a guy trying to get back.